Really, it began to grow. It started really me and him, and the Lord had us as a good team. We worked together, and that Bible study grew, and we had 5 people, then 10 people, and out of a ship that had about 300 people there, we had days in the Bible study where we had over 30 people, which was 10% of the ship. And your pastor was a tremendous encouragement to me. Iron sharpeneth iron, and so that a man, the cow, you know the verse. And so he sharpened me, helped me, encouraged me. And through the years, he's encouraged me. I've never doubted whether he was going to be serving the Lord. The Lord called him to go off to Ambassadors Baptist Bible College there. He went there and just on fire for God. God led him to be an assistant pastor. He's on fire for God. He went up to Morgantown on fire for God. And then the Lord led him here a year and a half ago. And boy, he's on fire for God. Loves the Lord. You're privileged to have him, his wife, his dear children. And I believe the hand of God is upon him. I'm privileged to have him as my friend. And I'm thankful to hear. I have my dear wife here, if you raise your hand. I have 10 children, 8 with me this morning. I have Joseph, Matthew, Andrea. Now, the rest are scattered around throughout the church, but I'm glad that's it. I might have missed a name there this morning. And take your Bibles, if you will. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, having 10 children is amazing. I never expected to have 10 children. But I'm thankful to have 10 children and a wonderful wife. And part of having 10 children is hearing new jokes all the time. And so recently, a new joke that I was told came from my son, Levi. And he came up to me and said, "Dad, I got something I want to ask you." He says, "What do you call a bull that swallows a bomb? What do you call a bull that swallows a bomb?" And so I tell you what, I'm racking my brain. A bull, first of all, that's not good. A bull swallowing a bomb's a bad thing. But he says, "Dad, it's abominable. A bomb in a bull." And so a bomb in a bull, abominable. And so I hear that all the time. My son Matthew's famous joke, he says, "Why was a cat scared of the tree?" "Because of its bark." This is a rough crowd here this morning right here. More sophisticated jokes I need to tell. And so, abominable and the bark. And so we get to 1 Kings chapter 18. It's an amazing chapter in the Bible. And, I'll tell you what, these young men right here, the privilege of having a copy of God's Word, a privilege of reading the Bible, a privilege of learning in Sunday school. It's a privilege to be in Sunday school, learning God's holy, precious word. And we backtrack. We know in the beginning, God created all. We know that, don't we? Okay. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm glad we're going back to the beginning now. And we learn about the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. Very good. We know that it wasn't long. They had children. They had Cain and Abel, very good. Cain killed Abel, and then we get to the point where God gave them another child named Seth. And then you know through time the people of the earth begin to fall into sin, displease God. God ended up destroying the earth, but he spared a family. We had Noah with his 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, very good. And then after that, we get to the time where we had after the flood, the Tower of Babel. We begin to learn about the patriarchs. We know Abraham, Isaac. Then we get to Esau and Jacob. Jacob got his name changed to Israel, the 12 sons of Israel. I expect you to know all 12 of them this morning. Come on. No, just kidding. But the 12 sons of Israel, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those sons named Joseph and his coat of many colors was sold off into slavery in Potiphar's house, and God raised him up to really second in charge of all of Egypt, and God used that to spare the children of Israel, his brothers and his dad, and they eventually were bound, and they became into bondage. There was 400 years, and the children of Israel living in the land of Goshen began to expand, they began to multiply, and this new king of Egypt came along, and he looked over at the children of Israel, and they said, oh my, if we don't do something about that, they're going to take over all of Egypt. So they began to persecute the children of Israel. And we get to the point where God raises up a deliverer. Praise God. He raised up a man named Moses. Remember in Midian, Moses is walking along and he sees a bush that is burning but not consumed. And wow, God spoke to Moses out of that burning bush. And then God used Moses to go back to Egypt from the land of Midian to lead them out of bondage. Let my people go. And praise the Lord, they got to the Red Sea. And you know, you look back and the Egyptian army is following them. And Moses didn't lose faith in God. God had a plan. God had a purpose. And he raised up that rod. And we imagine that Red Sea parting right there. And the children of Israel walking on dry ground across the Red Sea. The Egyptian army follows them. And then God capsizes the waters on the Egyptian army. And they all drown. We get to the wandering period. If you remember the period where they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. But then God used a man named Joshua. In my Sunday school last week, we spoke just for a moment, and just if you could just imagine, you're in my Sunday school class. I teach 40 and 50-year-olds. There's only, it's a brand new class of about 8 people in there, but we began to sing. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of, this is where we need some basses, and the walls came tumbling down. But praise the Lord, we wouldn't do that here, Brother Jim. But we sang that. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And then we have Joshua, the conquest. They went into the promised land, a wonderful, marvelous period. We're in the promised land. And oh, victory after victory after victory. We get to the period of judges and the cycle of judges where, oh, they're serving the Lord. Things are going good. God's blessing them. And then they begin to look inwardly at self, forget about God. And they get to a point where God sends and allows the Midianites or the Philistines to take charge of the land and persecute the children of Israel. And then they begin to call out, God, please forgive us. God, please help us. And God would send a judge, whether it was Gideon or Samson, a judge along, and praise the Lord, he helped them. And it was a cycle of sin where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We get to the period of 1 Samuel where God raises up a king. We want a king. We want a king. They begin to look at how the world was doing things. We want a king. We want a king. And so God allowed them to have a king, King Saul. And boy, it was a mightily blessed place. We know the story of Saul where he was blessed of God, but then he took his eyes off the Lord and began to think about himself. Me, myself, and I. And when we do that, or Saul does that, the blessings of God are taken off of him. And sure enough, oh, Saul, the end of his life, the last period of his life was a tragedy. And God raised up David. David killed Goliath. Oh, my, raised him up as a king. And after David, we get to Solomon. Oh, Solomon. He asked for wisdom. Boy, God gave him wisdom. God blessed him. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. After Solomon, this is very pertinent to our lesson this morning, we have a divided kingdom. There was King Rehoboam of the king of Israel, and all of a sudden he began to get wisdom from the wrong people. Instead of going to the wise men of the land, well, he went to the wise men but didn't listen to them. He went to some of the young buckaroos who didn't know much, and he says, you need to be hard on these people. You're the king. You should demand people to follow you and listen to you. And sure enough, he is hard, and it became a divided kingdom. We had the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And the northern kingdom of Israel was ruled or led by a man named Jeroboam, and the southern kingdom by Rehoboam. Now, this divided kingdom is important to understand. In the north, the northern kingdom of Israel, every king was bad. They were all evil. They were all wicked. They maybe had an act of goodness every once in a while, but all of them were evil. They didn't serve God. They were wicked. They were vile. So every king of the northern kingdom of Israel was bad. Okay, do you understand that? Every king of the northern kingdom of Israel was bad. Southern kingdom, boy, they had some good ones. They had some bad ones. They had some good ones. They had some bad ones. Hezekiah was good. Uzziah was good. There were some good kings there, but there were some bad kings. But the northern kingdom was bad. Now, we get to a period where the king is King Ahab. King Ahab. Say that with me. King Ahab. King Ahab. Now, King Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. Was he good or bad? that his wife's name was Jezebel, that's a pretty good sign he was bad. Jezebel, oh my, Ahab, bad. And you think about it, King Ahab had led that nation. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 16 or 17 how he was more wicked and more vile than any of the kings before him. He was a vile man, a wicked man. He led the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, into sin. Now God sent a prophet into the kingdom, a prophet named Elijah. Say that with me, a prophet named Elijah. And I'm looking for a prophet named Elijah. You wouldn't mind helping me. You look like a godly man, a wonderful. Can you be my Elijah this morning? I appreciate it. Tell me, what's your name? Yeah, Elijah.
Elijah.
Okay, thank you very much. I expect you to understand. This is Elijah right there. Who's this?
Elijah.
This is God's man. I'm looking for somebody wicked and vile and terrible and mean and looks like a king but a bad. What's your name?
Joshua.
No, it's Ahab. So come here, man. This is Ahab right here. And so Ahab, I want you to stand up here. You're the king of Israel. Stand here like a king but a bad king. Give me that bad king look. He does good at that. I'll tell you what. This is King Ahab. This is
Elijah.
Elijah. This is God's man. And here Elijah comes over here. He's in the land of Samaria, the north. Come over here, Elijah. And he gets over here, and God gave him a purpose and a plan to speak to King Ahab. And he says, King Ahab, you've done wicked, you've done wrong, you've displeased God. I'm going to pray, and God's sending a drought. And so all of a sudden, he prays, Neil, dear Lord, please send a famine in the land.
Dear Lord, please send a famine in the land.
I'll tell you what, good job right there. And all of a sudden, here's what happens. God does send a famine in the land. He sends a drought to the land. And he flees off to this place called Kereth. Kereth, if you want to pronounce it a different way, praise God. Where are you going?
To my wife.
No. Elijah didn't know. You're going over here to the land of Kereth. And Ahab is in Samaria. Now, if you could picture this, this is the Jordan River. This is the Sea of Galilee up here. Down over here, if we run this way, is the Dead Sea over here. So the land of Kereth was on the western side of the Jordan River. He's in the land of Gilead, the brook Kereth right here, and God feeds him with ravens, takes care of him and feeds him with ravens. If you ever see a raven, I used to golf at a golf course called Ocean View in Norfolk, and I would get to this hole, I'd have a few crackers, and all of a sudden I'd go to the putting green, and these ravens would come down, these blackbirds would come down, and they would steal my crackers. Now, I imagine that's what happened, how he was fed. These ravens went to the golf course there in Samaria somewhere, stole somebody's crackers, and came over here and fed Elijah. So if you ever see a blackbird, a raven, think about the miracle of how God took care of Elijah. God is still the God of miracles. God still can take care of you. Unique ways he can, sometimes with ravens, but God always will take care of you. After he's in the land of Kereth for a while, the brook Kereth dries up. He goes to this other place, which is to the north. You're still there. The north, we cross over the Jordan River. You're in Samaria. You don't want to go. We'll go this way, okay? Oh, to the land of Zidon, to this city that begins with a Z. Look it up a little bit later. And this is where Jezebel was from. It's north of Mount Carmel. It's north of Samaria. And it's close to the Mediterranean Sea. Here he meets a widow lady. The widow lady is really at her last wit's end. She doesn't have any much food. She's going to make her last meal. The prophet asks her to bake her a cake or a piece of bread, which she does. And then God took care of her like he always does. God is a good God. Amen. And we get to 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'm out of breath if you can. This is terrible. Are we in the mountains? Where are we at? We're in North Carolina. It's 40 years old. That's what it is. And so, okay. Now, here's we're getting to 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah comes down to Samaria. And if you can imagine this, I want you to be right here. He's in Samaria. Ahab, come here. It's been 3 years of famine. Really, it's been about 3.5 years. And things are rough right now. I mean, it's been, no rain. It's terrible. Nothing's been growing. People are pretty mad at you, right? They're pretty hungry. And you're out here, out and about in Samaria. You're looking for something. You're looking for some dried plants where you can feed some. You're looking for something that you could get your cattle to eat. And there's a prophet with you named Obadiah. Hey, come here. You look like a good Obadiah right here. I like you. What's your name?
Obadiah.
Hey, see, you're a smart man right here. And so now, 1 Kings chapter 18. Okay, we got to hurry. You're good. Now, Obadiah, he's a good man. It's different, not the same Obadiah where you find the book of Obadiah. Just because they have the same name doesn't mean they're the same person. So this Obadiah in 1 Kings chapter 18 is not the same as the Obadiah who is one of the minor prophets here. You understand that? So this Obadiah is a good man. He actually hid 100 prophets in Samaria at one time and did a good work for King Ahab. But he's with King Ahab. Ahab gets over here and he says, here's what we need to do. We need to find some food. Here, Obadiah, I want you to go this way. I'm going to go this way, and we got to look for food. So, Ahab, you just go this way for a little bit, but don't run to your wife yet, okay? You don't have a wife. Okay. That's you. Please forgive me. I got you guys mixed up. Well, you're Jezebel. Don't run to Jezebel yet, okay? There we go. Now, Obadiah, I'm getting my guys mixed up. Who are you? Okay, you're bad, okay. Now get that ugly face on there again. Good job, okay. Now here we go, Elijah. Come here, Elijah. As Obadiah is walking along, he meets here Elijah. So you're walking along, hey, Elijah. Hey, Obadiah, man, good to see you, good to see you. And Elijah says to him, he says, oh, Obadiah, I need you to do something. I need you to go back, I need you to go get Ahab, and I need you to bring him to me. And Obadiah all of a sudden says, bring King Ahab. What's going to happen is I'm going to go get him and tell him that I found you, and then you're going to be back here, and you're not going to be here, and he's going to have me killed. I'm scared to do that. All of a sudden, Elijah says, no, I'll be here. Go get King Ahab. I'm going to go get King Ahab. I would go with you, but it's a long ways over there. Okay. So Obadiah brings King Ahab. You're King Ahab. Obadiah, you did a good job. I'm done with you, okay? 1 Kings chapter 18 is done with you. Now, Elijah meets King Ahab. Now, this is interesting. Stay right there. We're going to look at this in 1 Kings chapter 18 if you're there. And it begins a conversation. Brother Jim, Pastor Jim, what time do we get done with Sunday school? Okay, so we only have about a half hour left. And so, all right, I want you to look with me. Let me look at my notes here, right here. All right, look at verse 17 with me. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Okay, where's my Elijah? I'm getting it mixed up. Okay, this is Elijah. You look good. Yes. Art thou he that? No. Ahab says that. Now you got to point at him, okay? Now see this right there?
Where?
Right there.
Art thou he that troubleth Israel?
No. Watch this. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Just try it.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Art thou he that troubleth Israel?
Okay, that's a good question. Ahab is blaming Elijah for the problems of the drought. There's been a big problem. There's a drought in the land. There's a big problem because there's no food. There's a big problem because the people are going hungry. They're starving. They're dying. It's a terrible situation. Ahab over here is pretty upset with Elijah over here. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered and said, I have not
troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam.
Here's an interesting point. The world often is not blessed by the Lord, or some family is not blessed by the Lord, or an individual is not blessed by the Lord because of their sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And what they do is they all of a sudden blame their problems on God, and blame their problems on the man of God. They blame their problems on the things of God. And all of a sudden, the perspective is wrong. It's not God's fault. It says, hey, listen here. It's because you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord. By the way, there's a consequence when you do not follow the Word of God. There's consequences for a church. There's consequences for families. There's consequences for individuals when you forsake the commandments of the Lord. It's interesting, we fast forward to this, there issues a challenge. How long, you'll see in a moment, how long halt you between two opinions? What Elijah says, he says, Ahab, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go up on Mount Carmel, and what I want you to do is I want you to gather the prophets of Baal and these other prophets of the groves, and I want you to meet me on Mount Carmel, and we're going to sort of have a showdown to see who the true God is. So they break for a moment. Ahab, you go down and begin to gather the people of Israel. You begin to gather the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, and we're going to meet over here on Mount Carmel. Elijah, if you'll come here. Let's just pretend this is the mountain. We don't want to go back there. We're on the mountain. This is the mountain. Elijah, you stand right here. And here, Ahab, all of a sudden you've gathered over here. You're on the mountain. The prophets of Baal, these are perfect. Wow, these are the prophets of Baal, okay? All of these young, fine men are the prophets of Baal. They look like prophets of Baal, and so they're the prophets of Baal, okay? Would you mind being the prophets of Baal? No, of course not, but just for this sake, would you be the prophets of Baal? Could you men just stand right here as the prophets of Baal? Like right here on this right here. Are they allowed to do that, brother? Pastor? Sure. It's been good being here at the church here. This may be the last time I'm ever here, but praise God, it's been good being here while I had a chance. Prophets of Baal, just stand right here as the prophets of Baal. Okay? Now, Ahab, I'd prefer you stand over here. Elijah, I'd prefer you stand over here. Okay. The prophets of Baal. Now, look, come on, prophets of Baal. I mean, good night. Prophets of Baal don't look happy. They don't look, okay, good, good. That's much better, much better. Now, here, you're involved too. Because as you read this and you notice this, he has the people of Israel gathered together also. And you begin to look at this, and he gets to this. He says in verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, all the people, these are the people that are gathered on Mount Carmel. You're on Mount Carmel with us. You're the people. You're the people of Israel. You're the people of the northern Samaria region right here. The prophets of Baal, King Ahab, Elijah, got this? And he says this, he says, how, right up here. Okay. Now you got to look at him, you're looking at the people here.
How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him.
And the people answered him not a word. Here's the thing. The people of Israel had followed Ahab. They had followed the prophets of Baal. They had gotten away from the God of Elijah, the God of the Bible. They did the easy thing. Here Elijah's all by himself. It was the popular thing in the society then. It was a popular thing to be on board with the prophets of Baal. It was popular to follow King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. It was popular for the people to be with this group over here, the prophets of Baal. By the way, just a side note, as we're in the United States and the nation gets farther and farther and farther and farther and farther and farther away from God, you're going to see a lot of people turning their eyes to the prophets of Baal in the world today. They're going to be looking at the godless king of America or the godless presidents of America. You might say we're not into politics, but you see the nation going farther and farther away from God. And the nation as a whole is going to be looking at Elijah and say, we don't want nothing to do with that Elijah. We want to be with the prophets of Baal. They're in the majority. There's more of them. They're more popular. There's more places to go serve Baal now today than to serve the God, Lord God of Elijah, and the people begin to follow them. Elijah gets up all alone without the prophet of Baal, without a gathering of people by him, and says, how long halt you between two opinions? If God, the God of the Bible, is God, serve him. But if it's the prophet of Baal, go ahead and serve him. And by the way, those individuals have a choice. By the way, you have a choice. Your family has a choice. You as an individual, it doesn't really matter necessarily what your family does. You have a choice also. Are you going to serve the Baals of this world? Or are you going to serve the Lord God of Elijah? We go a little bit further because they begin to issue a challenge. He says, now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take two bullocks. We're going to make an altar. And I'll give you a chance, prophets of Baal. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put those two bullocks there. I want you to make an altar. I want you to call on Baal and ask Baal to call down fire from heaven. And we're going to see if he's God or not. And so all of a sudden, the prophets of Baal come over here. They have their little altar right here. I want to move the Bible right here. They are, come out here, prophets of Baal. They cut up their two bullocks right here. Now, let's gather in a circle like I'm follow the leader. Follow the leader, me. I'm now a prophet of Baal for a moment. Follow me. Look behind me. Now, you're going this way, okay? There we go. Baal. Now, go in a circle. Baal. Now, do it a little bit more like, Baal. By the way, what did you learn in Sunday school this morning? Kids, we learned to worship Baal. Not a good thing. Baal. Okay, so the prophets of Baal, they get busy for hours trying to call on this false god. By the way, it's a false god. Baal can't hear them. Elijah begins to mock him and said, hey, did your god go on a vacation? Where is he? He's sleeping. You can't wake him up. And boy, they worked these men into a frenzy. These are real people calling on a false god. By the way, people are often sincere about what they believe, but they can be sincerely wrong. People can be sincere about their beliefs, but if they're not following the God of the Bible, they're wrong. Wrong. Doesn't matter how sincere they are. They got so sincere about it, they took out lancets and knives and began, Baal, we're going to cut ourselves. Go ahead. Baal. And began to cut themselves. And the Bible says when they cut themselves, keep going. And they began to cut themselves. Okay, you're getting too good at that, okay? Okay, that's way too good at that, okay? All of a sudden, the Bible says as they cut themselves, it was so much so the blood gushed out. The blood gushed out. They were so sincere about their false beliefs that their blood gushed out. You don't follow somebody because they're sincere. You follow somebody because they're right. I want to say it again. You don't follow somebody because they're sincere. You follow somebody because they're right, because they're following the Word of God. Wow, you know why I follow Brother Pastor Jim Davidson? Because he's not because he's sincere. I believe he's sincere, but because he's following truth and right. Follow me, but also says, as I follow Christ. And boy, he's a follower of the Almighty God. He's a follower of Christ. Elijah is following the God of the Bible. He's not in the majority. These old Baal, after a while, these Baal worshippers, imagine them over here, come back over here. No fire. Nothing happened. They're over here. Now, guys, you have just spent hours. Baal, you've cut yourselves. So stand over here like this. I know it's rough, but this is a picture of their hurting. Okay? You're like, oh. You're cut. Yeah, they're very good. Now, I don't know. I like this guy right here. You're a good young man. You're good. Look, he's got blood all over him right there. Good. Right there. Okay. Woo! Now, Elijah comes down to the altar. He says, give me four barrels. He digs a trench around the altar. He has them pour four barrels of water. Now, where did they get the water? Well, probably the people that were coming to Mount Carmel probably had a wagon that had water so they could drink water from. That's probably what happened. Doesn't matter where the water comes from. It was a drought time, but they had four barrels of water. Then after they poured the four barrels of water all over the altar, he asked for four more barrels. They poured the barrels of water on there again. So I need four more barrels. So they poured four more barrels on the altar. Wow. This is a soaked altar right here. Then, oh my, this is amazing right there. When you read this, it says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar, like I said. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob under them, whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with stones, you end up building an altar. You continue on. He took the water. The water ran about the altar. And you get to verse number
36, and it says this, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said," just read this, like read this,
"Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Isaac and Israel."
Start over. All right, we'll make it. That's okay. Just forget the last 10 seconds. Here we go.
"Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again."
Stop right there. We're watching this. We're the people on this mountain. We watched the Baal worshippers cut themselves. We watched them as blood gushed out. We watched that there was no fire. Imagine this, that Elijah comes down and he begins to stand here. You wouldn't be sleeping. You wouldn't be sleeping. In your mind, what's going to happen? And all of a sudden, he begins to talk about God. He says, "Come near, come near." Everybody at that period of time, lean forward. So, okay, lean back. So say, "Come near."
Come near.
We're waiting in anticipation. He begins to pray. "God, show them that you're the true God. You're the living God." By the way, is he?
Amen.
Is he? Absolutely he is. And all of a sudden, just imagine, all of a sudden, I want to stay away from them. All of a sudden, from the sky, all of a sudden, just imagine. Burned up the whole altar. Now, the sound effects wasn't very good, I understand, but just fire from heaven literally fell, consumed that altar, consumed those bullocks. It consumed the water, everything. Imagine the people. Okay, I'm going to just demonstrate. Okay, lean forward. This is the best church I've ever been to right here. They're amazing right here. This is wonderful right there. It devoured the altar. Now, what happens next is important. Very important. When you look at this, when you get to this point, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Here's what they did. They fell down. "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord..." Very humbling. Imagine these people. Uh-oh. Whoops. What were we thinking? Imagine what they were thinking. Imagine the people. They didn't worry about the Baal anymore. All they could think of is, wow, the God of Elijah is real. Wow, the God of the Bible. It's true. What was I thinking? You know what the Bible says? It's coming a day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's coming a day when people are, every knee is going to bow to the Almighty God, the Lord God of Elijah. Hey, do you ever feel alone? Do you ever look around you and see a world that's gone crazy? You ever look around and see a world where wrong is proclaimed as right, and right is being proclaimed as wrong? You ever sometimes, as you're watching that, want to take your eyes off the Lord God of Elijah and sort of, you know, maybe not outwardly, but inwardly, you want to just sort of walk over to these prophets of Baal and, you know, you just sort of want to join them because they're in the majority. They're sort of, you know, the popular opinion and you just want to join up with them and just maybe, you know, just because that's the way the world is going. Remember the story in 1 Kings 18 when your heart begins to waver. All of a sudden, remember how fire did come down from heaven. Remember how the prophets of Baal all of a sudden were sitting there wounded and gushing their blood. And all of a sudden, remember how the people leaned forward as they came near. And remember how all of a sudden that fire came from heaven. They said, Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Remember that the Lord, He is God. And the time you have here on this side of eternity, serve the Lord. Serve the God of Elijah. By the way, Elijah, woo! Some people, let's go. They took these prophets right here of Baal. They took them down to the brook right there. I'm sorry, I grabbed you a little bit too hard right there. Get over here right there. I'll be, this guy's the one I didn't like right here. And what they did is, praise God, they killed the prophets of Baal. I like this guy. What's your name? No. You're a prophet of Baal. It's Joel. Joel? No. Your parents, no, this is not good. Forget that. Men, go, prophets of Baal, go sit back down. Forget that you partook in this right here. And, wow. I want to say, it's a great truth right there. Because we sometimes feel all alone when we have a Christian family. We all sometimes feel all alone holding our Bibles or going to church. We go into the grocery store on Sunday and we see all these people shopping and we're wondering, well, why aren't they going to church? Why aren't they serving the Almighty God? And we see a society that's so backwards, and sometimes in our heart of hearts we want to join these prophets of Baal and say, maybe we've missed out. You haven't missed out on nothing. Amen. Ain't missed out on nothing. Because the Lord God of Elijah is real. The Lord God of Elijah is powerful. And one day those prophets of Baal are toast, literally. They're in trouble. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you very, very much, Elijah. Thank you very, very much, Ahab. I appreciate it right there. Pastor?